Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, powered by Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Thursday morning. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. Eddie Spaghetti off to Hawaii. Who knows where he is? He could be sleeping on Bourbon Street in Hawaii. Did I mix up our conversations? I don't know what's going on, Martin. But as I mentioned him, let me introduce my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss, fresh off our Sports Emmy win. Sheck, are people treating you differently now that we're Sports Emmy winners?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still just a guy. I mean, like, you can still talk to me like a normal fella. I have the same concerns as everybody else. Speaking of which,
I like that.
I know it's fun to root against Boston sports teams and laugh at our...
Oh, you want to go right into it,
laugh at our friends and their pain and everything else. But we should all understand there's a higher goal for all of us. If you claim to care about sports as much as we all do, we need another game. Go Celtics so we get a game six. Because after the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup is awarded, we now know it.
Right.
Then it's just baseball. And that's it. They've got baseball.
And so it'll still be just baseball. What is it extending this and putting Martin and I, we have to have worries about our Heat bet. What is this extra game going
to
do?
We know some real
a-hole Boston Celtic fans who are going to just never, ever going to let us live this down.
All right, let me pitch this to you. If they pull off this upset.
What do we care about another
game? It'll hurt way worse if they lose in game seven in Boston. How about that? Does that convince you? Can I put you into game six now? Can I talk about that? No, because I can't guarantee that.
I want it over tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe tonight, Sal. Maybe I'm looking with my pockets, but I'm with. Go ahead and take care of this thing right here, right now. Let's everybody give us an opportunity to put our feet up, relax. All right, have a little. You know, now when people get married, they'll have like a baby moon before the baby comes. That's what this is right now. We can have a baby moon before
the NBA finals
arrive here. Kick our feet up, relax, watch a little baseball. They got new rules, Dave. It's a fun game to watch now. I know you haven't seen it probably all summer because the Pirates ever since the 10 wins.
Listen, I'll find something else to do Saturday. I don't need to see a game six. The game four, as everybody knows.
Go see a movie.
Yeah, go on a freaking date.
I don't think my wife will appreciate me going on a date with somebody. I mean, somebody's got to teach me how to swipe left and right. I'm completely out on all the new technology of dating anyway.
Boston wins 116-99 game four. 19 three-pointers made. I know you're sick of hearing this, Martin, but this is it, right? You make 19 three-pointers and you're not going to lose the game. You're just not. The Yankees walk 11 times on Wednesday. Do they win a game, Sheck? I'm making up a number, but most likely. Mm-hmm. So does this keep up? This is a team who struggled from three. The Celtics are now only plus 225, which is insane to win the next three. That would be in a row. I don't think they do it. They're better ultimately on paper, but they're too sloppy. They're too streaky. The coach isn't great. The stars forget how to play basketball down the stretch. And I think one or more of those things will be the deciding factor over the next 10 hours or 4 days, Sheck. So
I don't know, but doesn't it feel like there's borderline conspiratorial kind of vibes coming off of this after they went up 3-0? And the humiliation that was dealt to the Celts, there was still buzz. And I don't know if it's all owed to that ESPN thing that got a lot of attention before the series. And when they went down 0-2, then they went down 0-3. People like, statistically or whatever they were gauging that off of, like, the Celts still have a decent chance of winning. Like, what? In what world would that be true? And yet I can't ignore that. Obviously, the Celts go up to Boston. They escape with a victory here. Boy, curse that is entirely on the Heat, and every team in NBA history has survived the curse of supposed to be an up 3-0. I don't know why. This one feels different, right? Doesn't it? Even though the Celts are as flawed as they are. Like, Dave, I can see it happening.
It, it hurts me because you, the inventor of the curse of Spoelstra, are implementing it in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Miami almost swept Boston. The two seed is going home now. They still have the Spoelstra. They're supposed to win.
Yes.
Think about this. Now I get it that this is the two seed with the three with that has a 3-0 deficit. However, Boston wins one game. They win one game. Miami shoots poorly from three, one game in the last 3 months. And everybody's like, oh man, you gotta look out. Boston really could rip off four in a row in this thing. It's like it's at best a four times of a coin flip. Like it could happen, but the reality of the situation is I was talking about this with Gunnels. The 3-point shot, I feel like, especially when your back is against the wall. And I know, like, when you elimination game, you end up getting a little bit of lemon booty, as they would say. That happened in Miami. Oh. You go 8-for-40 or whatever from three.
The Lemon Booty podcast? Is that what we're doing?
Lemon Booty Parlay podcast.
Is that an offshoot? Wow. It's a spinoff. Well, listen, I agree with you. And I, Sheck, I throw all those ESPN, wherever you find the stat. Team down 3-0-3 has never won since the 17th century. I throw it all out because I want to look at the games, right? If every game is like Panthers Canes, where it's a one goal game, I would say, oh wow, down 3-0, the Canes could have come back. That wouldn't have shocked me. The Celtics look so bad in two of those games, right? That it leads me to believe that it's going to happen in one of the next three games. And I don't even buy the fact that they're two out of the next three are at home. I mean, I buy it because I can look at the schedule and see it. But Martin, what are they, 11-12 at home? Like, I don't think it's a gimme. I think 8's too many points. They could just as easily tank it at home. That's the main thing you just
touched on, is how bad the Celts have been at home. They've been mediocre to downright stinking.
Right. Everyone's like, oh, game five, they win. Okay, they're home game five, they win. Like, no, not necessarily. Yeah. All right, then this game's end. Then game seven, they'll have everyone in their club like, no,
the arguments aren't congruent, it's the same right? thing. Because it's, everybody's like, well, you know, the high seed has home court advantage. Well, like Boston loses at home a lot. They win more on the road by definition. And it's weird because you can't really lose that many home playoff games to continue to advance in series, which means they're really, really good in elimination games. But
yeah,
I'm with you, Sal. Like we're expecting to see just this meteoric rise to this Boston that they've been up and down all the time. Like for them to continue to stay at the high level that they were just at, I don't see it.
Let me just say this to clarify, Curse of Spoelstra. I just want to say, Curse of Spoelstra is squarely on the Celtics still tonight. They're at home. They forced it. Miami had to get on the airplane and fly up there against their will. It's not what they wanted. But now, you know, as we say, 500 or worse over the last two postseasons, and the Celtics made the finals last year. It really is so bizarre that this is two seasons running, postseasons running, that the Celts are bad at home, and yet here they are deep again into the playoffs.
Let them lose, Sheck. You don't want Hench coming on -3 saying that nobody believes in us team.
Well, he already closed the book, so he stinks. If you're a Celtics fan,
you know how they could be. Well, that's it. So they'll own all three comebacks, 28-3 Super Bowl. They'll own the 0-3 to the Yankees in 94. And they'll own this one. We can't have that across the three.
I hear you.
Most major.
I'm not rooting for the South ultimately to win. I just want more sports. That's all. I'm rooting for one more game.
It's Saturday night. Find something to do Saturday
night. Just think about the heat getting on the plane at midnight or whatever tonight. Like, oh my God. Mm. Oh my God.
I know.
This thing was over a few nights ago. Now we got to go back home for another one. It's juicy stuff. It's fun.
Martin, help is on the way, I think. And it's in the form of Mark Davis, not the owner of the Raiders with the weird haircut. He's the crew chief for tonight's Celtics Heat game. Past 2 years with Mark Davis, Boston is 2-9 at home. The Heat are 19-4 with Mark Davis or Ed Molloy reffing. 10-3 on the road, 10-2 this year overall. Celtics fans are already crying about this being the be-all, end-all of the team. I don't like to see Gabe Vincent out. Gabe Vincent already sucks. Out. So there's between 12 and 22 points gone.
Yeah, Miami is starting to be, the injuries are starting to mount. That's another reason why they need to take care of this thing right now and get that little baby moon before the finals. But, you know, everybody sees that and says, like, the conspiracy theory of, oh, this ref fixes this or whatever. Or like, doesn't even say conspiracy theory, but they're just like, hey, you know, it's Mike Brown or Scott Foster or, you know, who. What if like there's just, if you look at the way Boston plays, all they shoot is threes and layups. That's it. They play lazy defense a lot of times and they reach a lot. So like, maybe the referee is like not calling the contact at the lane and maybe is calling it out the perimeter and he's just more likely to do that. Like there's, I feel like there's referees that have tendencies that is not necessarily, you know, this nefarious.
Well, they're a good team. Yeah, with a good record. So if we have two, now three referees who have, you know, 2-9 at home, the Celtics are with them. There must be a referee out there where the Celtics are like 60 games over 500 when they play, right? How does this even out?
You would think it has to. And I would just imagine that, you know, that guy is more likely to call fouls on three-point jump shots because that's all the Celtics take are three-point jump shots.
Shaq, can I interest you in the Heat to win this series at 4-2? Plus 180.
Yes. I mean, listen, it's not going to make me feel sad if the Celtics blow it. I expect they will, of course. There's zero. I mean, again.
But is that a good bet right now? 4-2, yes. Plus 180.
Well, 4-2. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they lose. No, the Celtics win tonight. Okay. And then the Heat win on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I didn't think final score 4-2. I wasn't thinking the game would be way under. 4-2. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. I just went. We need one more. Don't you see? You guys are prisoners of the moment. You guys are being cute and
I know
and
my surroundings. And I know what's going
to
be
right now. You guys are feeling like, what do I have to worry about? I'll tell you what you have to worry about. 3 months of nothing but baseball. That's what you have to worry about.
It's still the same. We're going to have that no matter what happens tonight.
No,
I know.
NBA Finals can give us one more thing to distract us before we head off into the abyss.
If you could guarantee me that the Heat are not going to blow this series and then the Celtics are not going to beat Denver, you know how our Boston... Let me put it this way, Shaq. Would it help you if you knew that we had a friend, maybe not as close to you in recent years or for whatever reason, but that's right. Freddie Lynn's friend wrote this team off. No way. I'm done with this team. And now it's flying to Boston for game 5.
I think it's disgraceful the way people try to have their cake about and some pie.
So what's the answer? Let him try to eat his.
This may be a controversial. Posture for me to take here. As I have said before, and will say to you again now, I think apathy. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. It is apathy.
Yes.
And the people of Boston, for all their flaws and all their weirdness and arrogance, at least they care.
Keep going.
That's it. I mean, I tend to vibe to the fan base for whom I know it means more.
But it's fun if the sports guy flew out there and knowing that they were going to lose and then rejuvenated
also
interest
true.
And then loses. All right. Martin, Denver minus 215 now. They were minus 290 before the Celtics win. It shrinks with every Celtics win, obviously. I have some money on Denver. You want to wait? Go right ahead. I think everyone should have a little something on Denver. I think either they solve Jimmy Butler, you know, the Miami riddle, or they're just much better than Boston. Maybe not a sweep, but they could knock them out in 5 like they did the Lakers.
Right? Yeah, I think at this point, Denver is obviously the favorite. And I think another way to play it, if you don't want to necessarily take the juice on Denver outright, I think there's no chance that Jokic, there's maybe if he gets hurt, but that's about it, that he's not the finals MVP after
I
Denver
heard you
wins
talking
it.
About this on Lemon Pepper Parlay with Gunnels. Yes, if he got it in this series, what more would Murray have to do?
Exactly.
Right? Like, I'm not saying Jokic didn't deserve it, but Murray had some monster games. He's going to have to put up 50-point games? I don't know.
I didn't think it was a hot take to say that Jamal Murray was the Western Conference MVP. Like, if you just looked at the 4 games in and of themselves, even though Jokic had a triple-double in 2 of them, Jamal Murray, to me, was the unguardable player that the Nuggets had that the Lakers just couldn't handle. But I do think that, especially when you consider who's voting for this and the way that the voting for the regular season MVP went, most people probably feeling like it should have been Jokic, but they couldn't. These votes are public and didn't want to vote for him now because
They feel bad they didn't vote Jokic. Is that what you're saying?
And it's going to
make up for it.
I think that there's no
chance. An interesting psychological angle. I do kind of agree with that. But I think the Nuggets are the safer play overall to win the series against whoever they get. And it's likely to be the Heat. But even if you know, the only thing I would say, we just saw Jokic against AD, you know, who is in the on the short list of best post defenders. But the other, you know, if the Time Lord's out there, then you're starting to talk about Jokic in simplistic terms of kicking it out to Murray and company to make the hay. I still think you're right, though. I like those triple doubles. Like, you know, we're talking about, I said it the other day, but like we're so weirdly unimpressed by the triple doubles. Like a decade ago, people were like, wait, a guy gets triple doubles all the time in the postseason. All it's the so time. Funny how that, I mean,
yeah,
this guy is bizarre. Like, I think we throw around.
Yeah. Unicorn. You just watch assists. He has 8 or 9 rebounds going in late in the second quarter. So it's all you really have to worry about
is
assists.
And he's not going like 12, like, there were some Rondo triple doubles a decade ago that were like, you know, they were like 10, 10.
Just
10.
Get the 10s. Yeah.
Like he's, you know, he's like 40, 18, 15. Like, what in the hell?
But Martin, let me say this. I know that was Sheck speaking, but let me address Martin. So Jokic is minus 175 to win the finals MVP. And of course, we're doing this without knowing who's coming out of the Eastern Conference. But I could even see a situation where Jokic has to sit a game, maybe two. And they still could beat Miami.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
I think so. Yeah. So I don't know. You don't bet on something like that. Murray is 17-1, Butler plus 440, and Tatum 550. But let's just get past this damn series. For God's sakes. Come on. I can't stomach it, Shaq. This is our fault. We surround ourselves with these a-holes.
I know. But again, the pushback is like, Miami sports fans don't have enough going anyway. Aren't you like, okay, they got the Florida
care.
Panthers. Plus,
don't care about them. Care about me.
Listen, care about us. I get the overarching reason that, you know, and you made the savvy play of the Heat when no one was talking about them.
No, if I didn't have a dollar on them, I would, would still want. Yeah. You got to root against your friends.
Did you notice that Sal relishes in the squirmishness of his friends. And when his friends are down, that's when he starts, you know, some people offer a hand.
Yes.
The foot to go ahead and with that
thank
kick.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I was hoping you bit your tongue while you were uttering that sentence, but no. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll talk NHL, Major League Baseball, those NFL news, and we'll have our play of the day. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. You must be 21 and older and physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. No one stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, DC, Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPENY.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, real quick, NHL. Boy, we're looking at two sweeps here in the conference finals, Shaq. Panthers sweep the Canes. According to our friend, the hopeless nerd, Todd Furman, there was only a minute and 40 of the entire series where one team had a two-goal lead. So this was as close as a four-game sweep could get. Of course, I bet Florida minus a puck and a half last night, and they won by one. Kachuk nets it with no time left, right? 10 seconds, and now they're on to the finals against probably the Vegas Knights.
It's, you know, Kachuk specifically and Bobrovsky as well, who I am one of his cynics. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, like Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing. Although, let's see him in the final come through and lifting a cup before we finally say he didn't blow it for his team. He's done it a few times, Vezina winner of the past. But Kachuk is on an all-time crazy historic roll. And while he is a star, a lot of people boosting him up. You hear him in the news like, hey, that's on you if you didn't know how good Kachuk was. Yeah, but he still didn't present fully as like, we'd be like,
that's spaghetti.
Hey,
you might as well say it.
I know.
You might as well say he's in Hawaii. It's spaghetti. You could say it.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, like, I think
he's
hockey.
He said Kachuk. Oh, people got mad that there were no stars in this. And Kachuk said, hold my beer or whatever. Hold
well,
my
I
cup.
Mean, I'll refer you back to like Mikey Meatballs can jump in on this perhaps. But I think like if you think about last offseason, it felt to me at least like Johnny Gaudreau, a.k.a. Johnny Hockey. And you talk about the what good marketing can do for somebody. It felt like Johnny Gaudreau moving from Calgary was a much bigger deal to, you know, the hockey fans than Matthew Kachuk going down to Florida. How say you? I mean, right. Just because the guy's name is Johnny Hockey, of course.
What do you think
else
of that, Mikey Meatballs? And maybe that's a good, maybe that's a ploy. Name everybody Hockey after their first name and then see what sticks. Meatballs, is he right? It was a little...
Well, Gaudreau is a free agent, so he was like the biggest fish on the market there. I mean, Calgary did get Huberto back, but that did not pan out there. So I guess, I mean, I know what Dave's saying, but I still think it makes sense. It makes sense.
I mean, everybody would rather have, if you gave him a choice, Kachuk over Gaudreau, but it felt like the buzz was much more like where was Johnny Hockey going to land and everything else. And it was sort of like an afterthought that like, oh, Kachuk went down there and Huberto moved up to Alberta. It was not the story nearly that the other one was. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like the all-time heater, this is crazy stuff. The overtime goals, all I mean, you know, he is... I'm trying to think of like this. What my point is, this side of like Gretzky, Lemieux, Messier with the rags and 90. How many teams have been carried singularly in terms of goal scoring like the Florida Panthers have been this playoff run? It's quite a thing.
He's plus 380 to win the Conn Smythe. Bobrovsky is 2-1 and Jack Eichel on the other side is plus 380. We'll get the Knights stars in a second, but check this. I know this is near and dear to your heart. The Panthers made the mistake, or is it a mistake, of touching the Prince of Wales trophy after winning?
No.
So you're presented with a conference championship trophy. Now, hold on, hear me out. Teams that touch the conference trophy are 9-23 in the last 32 Stanley Cups, even though five of the past seven to win the cup have touched the Prince of Wales trophy. It's a big, big controversy in hockey land.
Yeah, it is perennially now. And by the way, shout out when we're talking about trophies and hockey players picking them up and all that. Mazel tov. One of the most special days in Pittsburgh sports history is here. One of the most important days, the day 66 Lemieux hoisted the Stanley Cup in Minnesota, 1991, a precious day. One of the five greatest
days
of my life. Yes. One of the five.
And then he hoisted it into his
birth
trunk
of my
and nobody
son,
saw the trophy ever again.
Something like
it's
that.
Very sad.
Birth of one of my children. Then that Stanley Cup, birth of two other children, then the second cup, then the fourth.
We'll
child.
Get the names.
We'll I don't the remember names, what the that's names are important. Currently. But
what
anyway,
about this dumb superstition, though?
Well, it's kind of like the Thanos ring, I think. Like, you know, like if you're powerful enough, you can touch one of those, one of those jewels or whatever they are. What are they? The stones, the Infinity Stones. You can touch one if you're powerful enough and it won't instantly kill you. But if you're normal, it will kill you. I think that's the math. If you're normal, mortal, like, don't be touching the Prince of Wales trophy. I am skewed, though, because Sidney Crosby.
Why not touch it? It's a trophy.
Sidney Crosby picks it up and it's no matter. We'll go. We're going to go win the Stanley Cup anyway.
But why not touch it? It's not this. It's not like they're presenting the Stanley Cup. It's the thing that you want. You won this trophy, but you can't touch it. Like, because there's more business to be, but so what do we don't high five after a regular season win either? What do we take this superstition?
It may not make sense, but if you tell me that only nine people or only nine teams have won this thing out of 30, whatever, I'm going to go ahead and not touch it either. Why not?
It's not something different. Yeah. Not that one conference is tougher than the other. I don't know. Just let it be. Last 3 decades.
Just let it be. Like, nope, I'm not touching it. I'm good. Why Tim Fate? Like, were you walking around, hopping on cracks and just going home to see how your mother's back was feeling?
Sal would go pick it up even if his team lost. He'd be like, I'll touch it. I don't care. He would just skate into the celebration circle and pick it up. Anyway, I'm not going to get the skate with the Stanley Cup. I'm going to do it with this one instead. Just take a lap.
I'd find it before game four, and I'd parade it around. I was like, you see this, fellas? This is what we're looking to win.
So I was going out trying to break mirrors. Force bad luck.
Have to walk home.
Oh, we made it off the ice. We're back now. We're on to the Stanley Cup final. Sal comes in a couple seconds late. He's the last teammate to make it in the locker room. He's put nachos in it. What's up, guys? Hey, what?
That's right.
Like that's what you would do. That's right. Shake off all the superstition. Of course, you're in the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, it's not.
But listen, I went as a Met fan. I went. Forget about what the players are doing in the dugout. I don't know. I went 30 years as a Met fan. Not talking about no hitters. And it didn't work. Finally, it worked with Johan Santana. It's like stupid. A team that does need all the luck in the world. Stars tonight, home for game four against the Knights. The odds makers have given up. They make the Stars -115. They were -145 for game three. But now they're like, I don't know. I guess they don't want to give the Knights backers plus money. Stars captain Jamie Benn suspended 2 games. This guy lost his mind check. He cross-checks Knights right winger Mark Stone. And then when he's down again, he cross-checks him like near or by the jaw. And then I think he unlaced his skate and glided it against Stone's throat and then pulled out a taser. He went crazy. He lost his mind.
The thing, I'm sorry to invoke, I've mentioned before that I'm from Pittsburgh. That's why there's so many Pittsburgh sports references here. But what it makes me think of when I see those is like Jamie Benn is lucky. In the same way Myles Garrett was lucky when he swung that helmet, like that, the fact that he didn't mess the guy up is the best news of all. And I don't mean that from the side of like, I'm a good human being and we don't want to see these athletes. I mean, like, that would be way worse. Like if he broke, broke his jaw and then he disrupts what the final is going to, I mean, that would be garbage. Gabe Kaplan, welcome back, Cotter. Goodbye, Mr. Cotter. You know, Mark Stone, as I've told you, is a doppelganger for Mr. Cotter.
I think it's bad luck to touch an opponent's jaw with your stick.
Also true.
You're not supposed to. And it turns out it was. He suspended 2 games. It's bad, really bad luck.
Think about like in the NHL, some guys have been charged with assault. You know, I mean, literally, like in courts of law have been charged with that. He breaks the guy's jaw and everything. Like if he really F's him up good, you know, if this would be way worse for Jamie Benn, never mind for the Vegas Knights. But yeah, absolutely. Filthy. Knights. If you haven't seen it, go look at the guy's laying on the ice and he's cross-checking him in his head.
Knights, even though they haven't quite finished off the Stars, still favored to win the cup at -120. I don't know if they're allowed to touch it at when they win. I'm not sure how it works. The Panthers are +110. Stars, Spaghetti's bet, 25-1. Oh boy. I'd be trying to, you know, forget everything in Hawaii too if I were him. Hey, I did hit the picket lines yesterday. And before I walk, I typically end up spending like 20 minutes with a Sharpie in my hand, trying to think up something funny to write on my sign because There's nothing I hate more than an unfunny sign when I walk past it. It kind of makes me root for the studios. So, yeah, I'm rooting against my own union here. But anyway, I'm thinking something funny, and then with strike, and then, okay, I could do the strike home run thing, do a gambling thing. I put Trout to hit a homer plus 320, did some research, and now I'm 2-0 in WGA picket bets. Martin, this might be a better streak than since your car accident.
No.
Right?
Well, the thing is, here's everybody out there is out of work. I love the fact that you're giving people earning opportunities. That's the
real
key.
Thank you.
Because like some people go out there, they drop off some water, they'll drive past and honk their horns, hit them with the beep, 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 and then everybody's like, hey. No, so you out there, you're out there providing people opportunities to earn. That right there makes a difference.
Why? Thank you for recognizing that. Why should a horn excite you more than a winning pick for people? You're right. Who are struggling to make ends meet right now, Shaq, right? Plus 320. It's no slouch.
The thing is, it's kind of like, I don't know if AFL, NFL is the proper analogy here, but like, you know, it opened up a different revenue stream for players. Like I'm worth X amount of dollars, NFL team. Like, well, this is what we're willing to pay you. Where else are you going to go? To the other league. Same way, maybe these writers, they decided a year or 28 years ago, I'm going to be a writer in show business. Well, that ain't working out right now. Look who's coming along. Sal is the AFL. He's saying, like, become a lifelong wagerer, you know?
Yeah.
I'm showing you the way,
basically,
different revenue stream for the rest of your life. If you just follow my signs, and long after this strike ends, I'll be out here doing it. What if that becomes your thing? Like you have to go out.
I just have to keep picketing after the strike is over.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, listen, I'm glad you recognize it and Martin recognizes it. And yes, that's right. You have two choices right now, writers. You could follow my picks and make some extra money and subsidize what's going on there in the
that's
world.
Right.
Or I think they could join the Live Tour and be like Brooks Koepka's personal writer. I don't know how much that pays, but probably not as much as plus 320 for a Trout home run. I did bet, speaking of home runs, both Judge and Alonso to win the home run crown, plus 300 and plus 350. Alonso's got, I think, 4 on Judge, who has missed a week or a week and a half and is now catching up. But, you know, Brother Brian's like, oh, you hate Judge so much. I get the shtick and everything, but it isn't nice. Root for the New York guys to come out on top for home runs. And I ended up doing it. But I liked rooting against Judge. Shaq, which baseball player?
I mean, you're
root
all over
most?
The place. I don't. I mean, you know,
like I know.
You can't stand this, and so that's your motivating day. But oh, you will root for. I think deep down,
I know.
Sal doesn't want to admit some tough feelings for him that he can't bring himself. He's got Stockholm syndrome because of the Yankees. Mm. He grew up. He's stuck by his Metropolitans, but deep down, maybe he does kind of root for the Yankees more than he wants
this
to admit.
This is way out of character.
Yeah.
I don't ever really bet on them, Martin. But did you ever have anyone that you just couldn't bet on because you don't like them that much, even though the results are when? I mean, I try to stay away from like Patriots bets for that reason over and over.
His name
as much
is Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I've donated more money to the Buffalo Bills in the last three seasons than you know the little sisters.
So
on the
that's.
Board.
Well, so that's the other way. That's someone you bet. I'm saying you don't like them, so you don't bet them, kind of thing. But you don't like them because you did better.
No, I don't like him because I actively, consistently undervalue his ability all the time.
I see.
All the time. So I end up betting on the other team. And if I could just get out of my own way and see that the guy doesn't, he's grown a lot from the 54% completion percentage at Wyoming. He's come a long way from all second team Mountain West, you know, and I had to get over that.
You guys you always make like I'm a child because I would never bet against my teams and your cockamamie attempt to trick your own brain and justify and rationalize your poor behavior by betting against your team. Like, oh, don't you see? Then I feel good either way. Either my team wins or I'm a winner. That's shameful. And you know it deep down. It's wrong. I think what it actually says about me is that I am basically tying one hand behind my gambling back and, you know, and still thriving. Except I got to get the thriving part. But
what is the thriving?
The Steelers get to over 500, that's thriving? You know what I'm going to thrive?
Yeah.
The 2023 NFL football season. I disgraced myself a year ago.
All right.
I'm washing that stink off. and get on board with Damashek, because I think I'm pretty locked in on NFL. But in the meantime, we're talking home run.
I don't know if you're locked in. Your Dolphins pick, preseason pick, has taken a tremendous hit.
Why?
Since you picked them. Tua announced that he was considering retirement. Okay. And your midseason replacement, Tom Brady, bought a different franchise, which is going to make it tough for him to step in.
I was having fun with Tom Brady. I like making fun. I like making okay. fun of him as a mercenary who talk about washing off the stink. He washed off the Belichick stink. And that's funny to me for all the Patriots fans. That we can agree on is funny to laugh about, that he went down there
sure.
and won a Super Bowl for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's embarrassing if you're a Patriots fan, that's how little he cared about you. Yes, you shouldn't bet. Well, but listen, mazel tov on your Aaron Judge bet. I think there are juicier ones out there. Jordan Alvarez, Ronald Acuna's hitting moonshots almost every night. They're, longer odds on those guys. But good for you with your Pete Alonso.
We went over him. I did Judge and Alonso here. But there's a lot of guys with 12. Take a look. There's a lot of guys with 12 home runs and right in there. Even Trout, who I won money for, right? People on the picket line is 12-1. Max Muncy's only a couple behind at 19-1. Check that out. Now, the other Aaron.
And Schwarber's another fun one who seems to have Schwarber's just devoted himself. And Muncy, both those guys seem to like, I don't care about batting average. I'm just a home run guy now.
Well, he's a DH, Schwarber. Yeah, so you got to think, well, this is all he's concentrating on. This should work out. But, yeah, he was my preseason pick. What were you going to say, Martin?
I just caught to my head. I wonder if Tom Brady was rooting for Mac Jones' success.
No, he wasn't. No, he had Jimmy Garoppolo traded away. I mean, that's
He was also still there when Jimmy Garoppolo was there. Like, Tom's not playing anymore. Yeah. He's an owner now.
He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. He's all good.
I know we always talk about Brady and Rodgers, but we're at it again with Aaron Rodgers. Spaghetti sent me this. He was on Adam Schein. I like Adam Schein a lot. And Rodgers said he recently watched Once Upon a Time in Queens, the 30 for 30 film on the 86 Mets. And he said, many Mets fans are Jets fans. You realize how special it would be to win a championship here in New York after watching that. Now, I helped produce that Mets documentary, and people are like, oh, you should like the Jets now, Sal. You should like Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's the other way. I think Jets fans can thank me for this added incentive I specifically gave their quarterback. The $59 million was not enough, apparently. He needed my help. And I think we did do a good job of dressing up what it looked like, the atmosphere and the fandom and everything else there. But, Sheck, so that's how it works. You watch a documentary. You say, oh, wow, look at these fans. They're diehards. Now I know what I'm dealing with in New York. So a good moment for Aaron Rodgers in New York right there.
He's playing it, yes. So far, so good with Aaron Rodgers and the rugged New York media. I think he really is saying a lot of the right things. Let's see how it goes through summertime and once they have a little bit of adversity there in Jets land. But yeah, in the meantime, what are you doing? Your old man's a Jets fan, isn't he, Sal? Isn't that reason enough?
For many years, he tried to get me to root for the Jets after making the mistake of bringing me home a Dallas Cowboys jacket. But I just didn't. I didn't jump.
This is where you come together. Like, you don't.
For Aaron Ruff, for a guy that's going to play 1 year?
Be like Costner. Be like Costner at the end of Field of Dreams. Say to your old man, want to have a catch? Go throw a football around and on behalf of Aaron. Make your peace with him. Do that. Go throw a football.
You know what? I could tell him I'm a Jets fan. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know the difference at this point. So yeah,
you guys think that Aaron Rodgers' little media tour is going well
so far?
I just feel like he's writing a lot of checks right now. Like for a guy like Tal said, who might only play 1 year, this is like the third or fourth time he's outright mentioned winning a championship. Not like, we're going to come out and put a better team on the table. Like, nah, he's like, no, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And I just like, that's feels like Aaron Rodgers is cashing. That's a lot of checks to be writing.
Oh yes, he is. Yes. Well, he's wrong about that. He's not going to win a Super Bowl.
But so like to the point of like handling the New York media, when this team is 3-4 through 7 weeks, This is going to be like, you told us you were winning a Super Bowl, Aaron. And he's going to be like, relax. I'm healthy.
I think it's different. I think you're right. The media will crush him, right, if he falls short. But I think the fans are so used to losing that they, no matter what he says, are going to, you know, manage their expectations.
Somebody, right? I mean,
if he went to New England and did this, it might be a different story. But
listen, he's a smart guy, clearly. And, you know, intuition, obviously.
Anyway,
I think he's smart. Yeah, I think he's smart. I just think he's gotten a little bit kooky with it, with where he's landed on a number of issues. And he also, my main issue with him is that he's a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Hey, open your mind, man. Whatever floats your boat, as long as you agree with him. If you disagree with him, then you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Then that grace goes away from him. Yeah, I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl. I think once things start, you know, they lose a game, they get housed somewhere, I don't think that, hey, relax, everybody's going to go over in Manhattan the same way it did in Wisconsin. I think that's what he's going to get. But I'm saying right now, from a PR standpoint, but I will say again, which is worse? You, Roethlisberger gets more or less shoved out. And so then his reaction is like, I hope they don't succeed and prove me wrong and them right for pushing me out, or Aaron Rodgers forcing his way out of there. You think he wants Jordan Love to succeed? Clearly, he's rooting for Jordan Love to fall on his face, right?
Yeah, but he's still playing football. I still don't know where Roethlisberger is coming from, because he was setting himself up for failure. I mean, Pickett, and I'm not just saying this to be an asshole, but Pickett would have to be miserable, right, for Ben to take a victory lap after season one.
I don't think he was going to take a victory lap. I'm saying deep down, the guy got kind of pushed out.
I don't think he could take any kind of lap.
The guy got pushed
in the shape.
Well, that's the reality. If you listen to the Roethlisberger podcast, which you really should, that conversation he has with his guy Spence there.
I won't do
with
it.
With Pickett sitting there. Well, listen to it. And because the premise is, it's like, well, Ben, you still had something left in the tank, so it was tough to, you know, kind of get shoved out a little bit. And so, you know, so he had a chip on his shoulder about that. Obviously, I think deep down what he realized is like, it's a good thing I left. This is better. Like, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah, let them go. Now I'm an ambassador.
I think we disagree on the still has something left in the tank thing, but
I don't agree. I don't think he had anything left in the tank either. But I mean, my point is that's what was going on in his head. And Aaron Rodgers.
My point is it shouldn't have been. Yeah. Go ahead. Babyface, jump in here, because I know you have thoughts on this.
No, I mean, they never embarrassed him. They wanted it to be mutual. Eli got pushed out. That was embarrassing. That was bad for the franchise. And with Ben, I mean, at least they really tried to come to an agreement. It's odd that he would feel that he got pushed out.
I mean, that's the heavyweight champion thing, or like, you know, a big time prize fighter thing. You know, most of these guys do not have a sense of when to walk away.
That was why the Steelers were trying to get rid of him. He was heavyweight. Yeah. Get out of here, fat boy.
It's too heavy.
It's
too heavy.
Yeah. I mean, people don't like, but generally speaking, it is funny. Like, you can almost never win with these kind of things. Cause like Barry Sanders, the lament is forever now. It's like, man, just one more year and you could have been the all-time rushing leader and everything else. And so you either do that or you stick around too long. I mean, who did get it?
Whoa.
What?
See, that's part of the problem with your pedigree. There is like nobody questions Barry Sanders. Like, everybody like, man, if he had just hung it out. But everybody's like, well, it was the Lions. They were doing him wrong.
Here's how you can win, Shaq. Here's how you can win. You don't say, hey, you know what? I don't have to mention this, but I will. I was rooting against you, Kenny Pickett. And then I came around. I think that's one way you could win, is not even bring that up.
I think he's also, by the way, I think, you know, people who talk into a microphone, I think we think our words mean more to people at large than perhaps they do. I think he's guilty of that too. He said during the season, like, wow, Kenny's better than I thought. And that got pushback. Mm. In the moment, whenever he said that, November or whenever he said that last year, he's like, I didn't think this guy was going to be any good. I guess I was like, I think he felt like he had to justify why he said that 6 months prior.
All right. Listen, the point is Aaron Rodgers Once Upon a Time in Queens is great, and Aaron Rodgers was right.
And
so maybe he was right about everything. Maybe he's right about everything. And I'm a Jets fan. Unless they sign Adrian Peterson. Now, Adrian Peterson says he's officially retired. He's officially retired if no one signs him in 2023. He basically pulled a Carmelo Anthony. Do we need to check on who is and who isn't retired? Martin, is Barry Sanders, who you mentioned, retired? Emmitt Smith? Red Grange?
I'm pretty sure Barry is. I think Barry is hung up. But see, this is the thing. This is why I love what Carmelo did, because Carmelo was retired, right? But then he actually went and said, no, I'm officially retired now, just in case. Mm-hmm. So then he can get his little day in the sun, and we don't have to do the whole retirement tour, which is terrible. Like the Adrian Peterson thing, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He could have gotten signed in 2021 or 2022. Like, if you had asked me what NFL team Adrian Peterson was on right now, I would have had to sit and make sure the answer was none. Because, like,
I would have confidently said none, right? What do we, I don't even remember his last team. Was it the Commanders?
Might have been. I think it was Commanders.
What was it?
The Saints, maybe?
Saints.
He's 38 years old.
This is the conclusion to a career that you don't want. This is what I laugh. That's what I'm getting at with all this. So not pulling the plug. By the way, on any fantasy site,
Seahawks is the answer. Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
Go through. I mean, yeah. This guy Adrian Peterson, who obviously has some exes in his personal past as well, but fancied himself as relevant to pro football, while all of us, he was basically Abe Vigoda, fish, you know, Tessio to most of us. Like, Abe Vigoda still alive? Like, without your reaction when Abe Vigoda passed away, was like, oh, I thought he'd been gone for 10 years. That's what's going on here. But going on any fantasy site, the names that come up, you're like, that guy is still eligible to be picked up in fantasy. Adrian Peterson is the tip of that iceberg. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you'll be like, what? That guy's still out there?
Maybe it's because his last teams were teams that I was like familiar with. Like, I watched him score.
Your team.
I watched him score touchdowns for the Lions and the Saints, like post COVID.
And Tennessee was between there and then ended up with Seattle. You know, you talk about fantasy and Adrian Peterson check. Remember there was another Adrian Peterson who I think was on Seattle. Backup to all backups. You could trick somebody in an auction draft online. If you nominated that Adrian Peterson, and then you got people bidding $6, $8, $9, $12, like, whoa. And then people will realize, wait a minute, that's not the Adrian Peterson. Like, doesn't matter. You're stuck with this guy who's going to get 8 carries for $16. That's how it is. It would always cause a fight. I missed that.
Speaking of fantasy, if you really want to root against your friend Simmons tonight and Hench and all the other Boston fans, why don't you create some stakes around the Celtics? Like, you get kicked out if your Celtics don't win game 5.
Oh,
maybe something like that. Then they'll really be sitting there nervous.
Well, but I can't kick both of them out.
No.
Well, one of you gets kicked
Simmons
out.
Simmons is the one who made the trip, so his head's on the chopping block.
I see.
Something all like, right. Who are you kicking out? Tell us already. Who are you kicking out?
This might just be Dave establishing yet another kickout scenario, but there's no basketball team in Pittsburgh, so he can't get kicked out.
I can't get kicked out anyway.
Exactly.
Not this year.
So he
not
can then look and point at like double the kickout opportunities, but Dave's only eligible for one.
In case
It's white noise.
I'm seeing right through your game.
I know what I'm doing.
It's no game, I don't care because the legal document that I held was not enough. I was too much of a gentleman. I could have pressed that issue. I could have tied it up in courts throughout the football season if I wanted to, just because some pretty boy, like, oh, I'm supposed to be the most handsome guy in fantasy, and now it's being challenged by Damashek. I'm kicking
you're
him
talking
out.
About Hench again? Nobody knows what you're talking
that's
about.
John
with this day.
But, that's John Hamm. Everybody's hero.
The legal document. All right, listen, but there is bad news in New England. This is good. The Pats lost 2 OTAs because of rules violations.
Shocking.
Of course they did. Yes, I know. Let's just dock them 2 OTAs a year in perpetuity, because this is what they do. It actually wasn't immediately known what the specific violation was, although I suspect it's the shirt that Mac Jones wore to the Taylor Swift concert. Yeah, I mean, that can't go on. So anyway, that's fun. I don't think it's going to matter. Andy Reid In other news, doesn't love the new kickoff rule, which is that all touchbacks and fair catches come out to the 25-yard line. They're trying to cut down on injuries that occur on the kickoff. I was thinking that this is going to lead to more squib kicks, which is ripe for injury, isn't it, Shaq? Like, I think this is a bad rule. But anyway, Andy Reid said eventually we're going to be playing flag football if we keep up with rules.
Right,
like
you're
this.
No longer allowed to say, put him in a dress, because that's offensive. But that's basically what Andy Reid is saying.
Yeah,
it's funny. Bert Breer spins it as like Goodell and the owners attempt to say, like, see, we do care. Given the pushback on TNF and moving schedules around and how that kind of hangs players' physical well-being out to dry, according to many players. That this is to make, I mean, this is Bert Breer's actual kind of conclusion of this, is his spin on it is to show the players, see, we do care about you. Too many concussions. And so we're
all right,
to take that off the kickoff team. It's jive. Bert Breer's not saying that it's a valid presentation from Goodell.
It's just what they're saying.
Like, that's the spin on it, which is ridiculous.
But okay, I understand, because it's separate enough from the four downs from the line to scrimmage that you could get a, we can get rid of the kickoff and everybody could start at the 25 or the 30 or whatever it is, right? I understand that. But I think it's a big part of the game. I think it's an important part of the game. And listen, crossing routes cause the most injuries. Without even looking, I could tell you, I'm sure, aside from artificial turf, I would say crossing route. Like, if you really care about, like, helmet to helmet and crunching blocks and stuff like that, outlaw that, right? They wouldn't think to do that. But of course it would go down the big injury 60%, Martin, I would say. I'm throwing a number out there. But there are more dangerous plays than the kickoff, I'd say.
100%.
No, 60%. Oh, 100%. Okay. Yeah. No,
but there's ways. Like, I know that, like, people laugh at the USFL and the XFL, but those low-impact kickoffs essentially have the same desired effect as a regular kickoff, except the coverage team isn't running 75 yards before they're making contact with people. That's what they say is the buildup to the injuries. So I would like to see, like, some of those low impact where they have those guys lining up, like, on their own, you know, on the receiving 30 and the receiving, like, 20-yard line, and then the returner is on the 10, and then they kick the ball off, and then you still have the same concepts of football and blocking and needing to tackle and spacing and all and creating alleys for to run through and all of that. So I would like to see something like that, as opposed to just, like, I don't know if
making a fair catch is the
answer all the time in terms of safety. Because
you can't
the game
do the
is
wedge
dangerous.
Anymore. Is that like 5 years, Shaq, where you can't return to a wedge?
Yeah,
a wedge?
And you can't do that. And the thing that, like, just from what is enjoyable in football, like, it doesn't happen a ton, but, like, the onside kick. And now it's almost impossible you would ever recover an onside kick. But, you know, when your team has a puncher's chance right at the end of a game, that's a great thing that has now been removed from the sport. It's like, we need a score here, and then we have to recover the onside. And when you, that moment, I would put that on the short list of most exciting things that happen in a football game, is like, almost impossible. Our team can rally. You score, like, okay, we still get the onside kick. Like, oh, he fumbled it. Oh, we got it. The guy's all jumping around. That's one of the great things
too.
In football, right? And now it's gone.
I think you should be allowed to return it also. I think you should be able to go all the way with a touchdown. It's funny. I watched that 95, 96 Cowboys Steelers. Your team did it. You had the ball like the whole second half. Came up short.
I was sure. It's really a bittersweet memory for me, because that's the greatest moment, in my opinion, in Cowher's career, is when they get that onside kick and he's going up and down, like, let's go now, and he's spitting all over the place. I was like, we're gonna win this game. Get our board right now. We're winning this game. I was convinced of it.
You got loud for nothing. No, stuff in the rules or whatever in the referee's pocket was the best.
That was pretty
good,
wasn't it? Yep, that was pretty good too. Yeah,
we got to focus.
Stuff the screenshots of into the referee's chest pocket.
Sean Payton did it too, right?
Never forget that. The Super Bowl against Peyton Manning. It was the first year that they had the Pro Bowl in between the Super Bowl and the end of the regular season. So I had a fortnight to stew and just be in the fetal position in my bed in college, wondering how in the world the Saints were going to manufacture extra possessions against Peyton Manning. And sure enough,
well, it's one way.
My former Fox colleague got it done.
After the half, right? That was right at the
start of the third quarter. Lance Moore recovered that and had a touchdown. In which
it's a good idea.
No, great idea.
It was a perfect timing for that. All right, let's take a break.
I just want to say an apology personally on behalf of all Indiana Hoosiers. Tracy Porter, you know, a fellow alum of Bloomington.
Yeah.
He picked off Peyton, and I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Saints hero, Tracy Porter. I'll have you right. Number 22. Saints ring of honor.
Peyton, if you want to talk to Martin about that on the side, that's your bad. I'm not.
Not coming on this show, Tracy Porter. No way. Sorry, Martin. Not for what he did to Peyton. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our plays of the day. All right, so this Boston-Miami game, God, I'm going Al Horford under 1.5 threes made. It's minus 101. This guy drives me bananas. I had him two games in a row to make multiple threes against the Sixers. He didn't do it, didn't come close. Came close, but on his misses, he didn't come close. Then he hit five, the game I laid off, of course. Then bad again the first two games versus Miami. Now multiples in games 3 and 4. I'm going to predict another poor shooting night. Five Celtics had three or more three-pointers made. Horford was one of them. He's going to go under here. He's going to have 0 or 1. The VIG is low, and he's so very inconsistent from behind the arc. He had three of his team's 19 made threes, I mentioned. Big Al, a big bust tonight, Martin. Under 1.5 threes made, minus 101. What are you going with?
I tend to agree with you there. And the Celtics kind of go, if you look, it's a weird bellwether of their successes. Al Horford's three-point shooting success. If he hits like two or three threes, they normally win. If he doesn't, they normally lose. I think they lose tonight, regardless of how many threes that he makes. But I'm going with my guy, my namesake, Caleb Martin. He's been respecting the name the last few weeks, and especially through this playoff run. Caleb Martin, over 1.5 threes made. He's been taking like 6 a game. It didn't work last game, but I'm going to do it again to over 2.5, over 3.5. I think he gets 4 tonight.
Oh, wow. All
especially
right.
With no Gabe Vincent. Gabe Somebody's got to shoot it.
I know. I was just saying it sucks, though, the Gabe Vincent thing. All right, check. What do you got? You going hockey?
I'm done with hockey. It's the coin flips are too much for me. Really, that's what this entire springtime has been about. I hope we can get back on track next hockey.
You say
season.
That because you know spaghetti's in the air, and he'll fight you on that. He'll fight tooth and nail.
Well, what I was actually disappointed by was Matt Verderam joined us on -3 for the first half of our summer primer for the NFL. And in advance of that, he said, all right, I'll come on the show, but you have to give me a chance to go at Eddie Spaghetti a little bit, the Rags fan. He's a Devils fan, Verderam is. And it was way too pleasant. It was way too like, well, I can't be upset about the Devils because it was my team, the Rangers, who kind of blew it. I was like, way too cordial. I didn't care for that.
People, I don't know. It's like we like to have these healthy sports discussions, and then we have to worry about roid rage, you know? And so what are we going to do?
It's not fun. Yeah, it's not fun when people are too nice. By the way, shout out to bookmaking legend Chris Andrews, who helped us out with another cockamamie scheme. Doug Gottlieb floated about the quality of the world's roster right now in the NBA versus the U.S. roster. So I kind of cobbled the two rosters together and asked him to present a line starting the clock with Akeem Olajuwon arriving with the Houston Rockets. It's pretty interesting. If you look at what the world can put up against all the U.S. athletes, again, starting from 85 to now, he gave us a line. Mm-hmm. He said minus 400 would be the U.S. Odds in a 7-game series. Anyway, just wanted to give a shout out to him to indulge my foolishness. In the meantime, real basketball game. I'm going to take the Celtics minus the 8 here. And that's that. I'm rooting for it. And as Hench rightly points out, if you like the Celtics, they're going to cover no matter how gargantuan the number appears. They do when they win, they win big. So if you like the Celts, then ride comfortably. That feels like a lot to me.
I hate this, Martin. I hate that that's 8. I hate that. What's interesting is what will game 6 be? Because the first Miami home game against Boston gave 3.5. Then when everyone thought Boston quit, Miami gave 1.5. and the Celtics took that game, obviously. What will they make game six?
Now you're worrying about problems that we ain't going to have.
I know.
Don't worry about it.
Celtics win.
Ain't gonna be no game six.
Celtics win. Good. The number goes back to Celtics laying three and a half, right?
Oh, no. I don't think that high, but yeah.
They win two in a row.
I think you're right. Ah, damn it. If they win this by 20, I'm not going to love this, Martin.
Well, I need Jimmy Butler to play all that country music, get that cowboy hat out, and take them boys home. Let's go.
Lemon Pepper Parlay, you and Gunnels talk all things Celtics, Heat, LeBron retirement. Is he going to do it? Is he not? Let me, I didn't have this on the outline, but I was thinking, what's Bronny's life look like 2 years from now? Where is he? Is he, he's on a bad team? Because it really is fascinating. More than any of this other stuff, I don't care about where Aaron Rodgers is going to end up. And thank God we don't have to actually worry about it, but we still talk about him. But LeBron's son, so Bronny, let's say he has a good year at USC, right? Mm-hmm. He's a one and done because he wants to play with dad, and dad can't wait around. And now you're an NBA team who knows you're going to be able to sign LeBron at a discount, right? Because he wants to play with his son. But Martin, let's say he should go in the late part of the first round. Who takes a chance on him first? Someone in the top five? It's really fascinating to think about.
Do you know what?
And then just to put him on the bench, like how much are you willing to risk to have 1 year of LeBron in his retirement tour? It's worth a lot.
I wouldn't want to risk that much at all in terms of I hate retirement tours. But as you just laid it out, I just thought, all right, what if like I don't know the Heat draft Bronny James, right? Somebody drafting in the last four picks. Right. He's going to be a late first round pick. What if we've all assumed that like a team would be into that, right? Like a team would draft Bronny with the thought you would lure LeBron. What if that, you know, that's just not the case or doesn't work out that way for the first, you know, 20 or so teams. And then once you get into the last 10, those are all playoff teams that are competing. Like they'd probably have a roster.
Yeah.
Like what if the Phoenix Suns, who need a point guard at this point, were to draft Bronny James. And now, like, Bronny and it, I never even contemplated the fact that he could potentially knock his dad out of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just think, Sheck, it's all the different possibilities are great. Maybe he's undraftable, or maybe he's a second-round pick. How high do you go for him? Because from a marketing standpoint, for this retirement tour, you're going to sell a billion LeBron James jerseys, right? Even if the kid doesn't come off the bench at all. And the kid will resent his father. That's for sure.
I feel like it becomes exponentially cooler and more marketable and all of that only if Bronny goes to the team where his father is, whether it's the Cavaliers or the Lakers. Otherwise, I don't think the Heat are too far gone, and that had the mercenary vibe the whole way through.
Oh, you don't think LeBron would go to the like the Hawks or something?
Yeah, no. If it's a rando team, like who can? Why would those fans care? I'm always proven wrong. Look at me with, I'm like Jets fans are excited about Aaron Rodgers. Why? He's somebody else's guy. He's not your guy.
They're Jets fans,
and he's a weirdo. Yeah. Like I say, but people always are like, oh, you don't get it. Yeah, like I don't know. I don't like that guy. Like. If it's the Lakers or the Cavs, then awesome. That could, it's Ken Griffey Jr. and senior.
No, I know.
Those images still resonate if you're a Seattle sports fan, I assume.
I don't know. I'm just wondering how much of a chance would a team take on Bronny just with the knowledge that LeBron is going to come
to
them?
Matters most, right? I mean, a lot of people are saying Bronny is, if he's LeBron's son, is not, you know, he's not like a humongous get at the college level. So how much can he project certainly after this season of being relevant?
This is all we're going to be talking about a year from now, right?
Want to talk about Dolphins, Martin? At plus 300 to win the AFC East? Because that's the way that one's going.
Who's their quarterback? I don't know.
I'll tell you after seeing Mike McDaniel at former FTX Arena, whatever it's called now in Miami, hyping the crowd up, I would be concerned about my Dolphins futures.
That's your guy?
No, he wasn't my guy. He did not seem to be revving the crowd up. I did not get the rah-rah.
No.
Let's go run through walls, men, out of that.
All right. Well, listen, run through walls to listen to Minus Three and Jimmy Kimmel on Laugh Lines. That was a lot of fun. It was on with me and Megan Connolly. We talked about the greatest sports celebration ever. And Sheck, we had a variation of that. We discussed this. This was based off the off of Victor's fist pump when he found that he wasn't going to the Rockets. And Brandi Chastain, because we have a lot of perverts on the Extra Points chat, following the Extra Points social channels, won for greatest sports celebration ever. But Jimmy had Leon Letts when BB knocked the ball out. Just knocking. That was just tossing in my face there. Anyway, Minus Three, Laugh Lines, Lemon Pepper Parlay, covered in glory. Check it all out, Against All Odds. We're going to be back next week. I want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.